back then. Take your Bible. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6 this morning. Daniel chapter 6. As you're turning, I need to just say it from the pulpit that, Miss Green, I was just rejoicing over the fact that both your children have been saved here this year. And what a blessing that those youngins got in, and I'm so grateful for that. Daniel chapter 6. Now, Daniel chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse 9. And tonight, I'm going to be back in Daniel 6. And Daniel, in the 6th chapter of Daniel, gives a great example of many things. This morning, I want to look at Daniel giving us an example on how to finish well. How to finish well. And with that in mind, if you look at verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and the princes assembled together to the king and said, "Thus unto him, King Darius, live forever." And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make it a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, I think it's very interesting that Daniel records these things, or God records them for us, on the heels of chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. In verse number 31, it says, "And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." So the Bible tells you that Darius is of the Median Empire. That's where Iran is. And that he's 62 years of age. How many of you think that 62 years of age is not old? Would you raise your hand? I appreciate that. Darius is an older king, and it's amazing to me how that critics of the Bible, they're uncertain about who he is when God tells you exactly who he is. He is a conquering aged man that's 62, that is king over top of the realm of Babylon. And that is repeated probably 17 to 20 times throughout the chapter. But I think the thing that's probably missing is the idea of Daniel and his age. Daniel, if you look, I have a Scofield Bible at the top of the page in the center. I think that's Usher's date of the writing that he believes this took place. That's 538 B.C. If you were to look at Daniel chapter 1, it would be 607 B.C., which is almost 70 years of time. Or that means that from the time that Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were brought into Babylon, let's say they were 20. But almost 70 years has passed. So when you get to Daniel chapter 6, and Daniel is going to be thrown into the lion's den, he is not a young man. He is not 40. He is not 50. He very well could have been 80, 90 years of age. He would have been an older man. And so really everything you read from chapter 6 until you get to the end of the book is either written at the hand or lived by the life of a man who is of great age. And I think that that's very important in the chapter. It reminds me how that Joshua, in speaking about his house in Joshua 24, you remember that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think that's a good choice. I think every young mother and dad ought to make a determination. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Every young couple that's part of Tabernacle Baptist Church or listening by way of the internet or online radio, you ought to make a decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But that wasn't said by young Joshua. That was said by Joshua in his older age. His children were grown. He said that at the end of his days. And I think what he was saying is, as for me and my house, the way we started out serving God and following all of our heart, we're going to finish that all the way up to the end of my days. And I'm not just going to begin well. Hey, I'm going to finish well as well. Paul said the same thing. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In other words, Paul didn't say I started out well and I ended up poorly. He said, no, I started out well. I fought a good fight, but I've finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up a crown of righteousness for me. Boy, there's a lot of people that start out with a bang. And boy, they just kind of go out with a fizzle. They just seem to kind of fade off the scene. It's amazing to me how excited people can be over a new president or a new coach or a new athlete. And the next thing you find 3-4 years later, how disappointed they are. And how they say, you know, there's just really not much to this person that we hired, or there's not much to this individual that came to power, and we're just dissatisfied. And what looked like would start out a great beginning ended up not finishing very well. And I'm going to say this morning, listen, I believe as Tabernacle Baptist Church, I don't know what 2021 holds. But if this is the year that the trumpet sounds, I think Tabernacle Baptist Church ought to finish well. Amen. If this is the last year we get to have a Christian day school, and the last year we get to have a Bible college, and the last year that we get to operate WTBI 91.5 on your FM dial, I think we ought to finish out this year to the glory and praise of God. Finish well. Every family, every dad, every mother, I think it ought to be in our heart on the beginning, this first Sunday of the year, not just to start well, but to finish well. And Daniel, maybe approaching 90 years of age, is going to give us a great example of how to finish well. Now, let's look at a few things. Two in particular. The Bible says in verse number 2, that over these, speaking of the 120 princes, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them and that the king should have no damage. In other words, the job of these presidents was much like that of the spokesperson for President Trump. Kayleigh McEnany is a born-again believer, but she is not an authority in this country. What she is a spokesman for the president. She comes to the press conference and the press throws all sorts of questions at her and all kind of accusation and all kind of things that they're really aiming at the president, but he doesn't step out in front. She does. And she takes those questions and she answers back and gives them an answer. That's why the Bible says that the princes might give accounts unto them. So Daniel has a job where somebody comes and they give an accounting to him that the king should have no damage. So he's running interference, if you would, for King Darius. If you've got a problem, you come to him and he might get that advice from Darius on what to do. But Darius is not going to step down and have to take the heat for it. He's going to give that to someone else who is going to give an answer to those princes. And that is where Daniel is. And then if you look in verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So in other words, Daniel is this older man, and he's been put in a very difficult job, very difficult job. And then the Bible goes on to say in verse 3 that he is preferred above the presidents and princes. Now, I want you to get that. In verse 2, he has a position. He is a president. He is the first of three. And underneath them are 120 princes. So he has a position. That position he has, no one is higher than him than Darius. Just like Joseph in Egypt, there's no one higher than Joseph except for Pharaoh. So that is his position. And it's a very difficult position. He is answering for the king. But then in verse 3, look at verse 3. This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. In other words, there was an excellent spirit that made him preferred above everyone else. Not that his position was above everyone else. He already had that, but the position he had in their hearts was, we like Daniel. This Daniel has an excellent spirit. This Daniel is a guy that I enjoy being around. This Daniel is something different than these other men that are in authority. And I think there's a big difference between position and preference. And listen, here's what I want to say to you this morning. First of all, first point, point number one, if you're going to finish well, you have to be able to keep an excellent spirit all your days. Now, if you're not worried about finishing well, if it doesn't matter to you if you finish poorly, if you ruin your testimony, you ruin the name of your family, if it doesn't matter if you take a left turn and abandon all of the things that you were taught, if it doesn't matter to you about how you finish, then this message is not going to be much of a help to you. But if you care about finishing well, I'm telling you, the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to keep an excellent spirit. And I don't think that's easy. Come on, I honestly, the older I get, of our older generation here, how many of you enjoy peace and quiet? Could I see your hand? We just want it to be peaceful and quiet. We don't want all this fussing. When I was a young boy, my brother and I, we fought all the time. I can remember my mother saying, she said, Joel, you and Brent, some days all y'all did was just play and love one another. And she said, y'all were such a blessing. And then she said, in some days, it seemed like all I did was just wear you boys out all day long. Fought all day. You know, as a young mother, I can see the patience wearing thin, but you get to be 55, you get to be 60. You get to be 65 and people in your house fussing and fighting. That's why I really believe this. As you get older, you just want the fighting to stop. We just want some sanity. We just want some things to be settled here around. We don't want all this uproar and upheaval. Dang, look. How many of you think 90 is old? If you don't think 90 is old, 90 is old. The Bible says 70, and if by reason of strength, 80, that's 80. Well, if Daniel is, let's say he's 20 in chapter 1, and now it's 70 years, he's 90. How many of you think that Daniel could have had a short fuse then? Don't y'all come back to my office. I don't hear any more about this. What I'm saying, he's 90, and just like Mrs. McEnany, she is being pelted with all kind of accusatory statements, things that aren't even true. And in my mind, if he is kind of like in her position, then he's got to prepare. He's got to get up in the morning. He's got to go through the questions that are going to be out there. Every deacon's meeting, I appreciate our deacons, but before every deacon's meeting, I go through a process. I'm going to sit and I'm going to think through what the agenda is. I'm going to talk to some other men before we ever get to that deacon's meeting. I'm going to make certain that I've got the answers in case there is that contentious opportunity, which there really hasn't been since I've been here. But I want to be prepared. I can't imagine going out in front of President Trump and saying, listen, what are all the questions that are going to be hurled today? And having to prepare. I think probably Miss McEnany drinks coffee. And I think she probably gets up early. And I think she has a lot of people to help her. And I think when she gets to that podium, I've seen a great big old book that she carries up there, lays that out there. Okay. In my mind, that's what I'm thinking. And then in Daniel, 120 princes. And Daniel's got to step into that. How many of you can see him not having an excellent spirit? Really? Could you not see that? Can you not see him saying, hey, listen, I don't, hush. That's Southern for shut up. Hush. Get him out of here. And I, in my mind, I can't see him saying, please take him out of here. Get him out of here. You sit down. And then when it's over, I don't know about you, when Mrs. McEnany finishes that conference with the press and she goes back, maybe she's relieved, but in my mind, she's got to do it again the next day. Oh. Well, I can see myself being real ill at 90 years of age, having to answer a bunch of questions and keep the heat off my king that really, I'm not even part of his people. I'm a Jew. He's a Median. I'm in Babylon. I've been brought in captivity. I've lived my whole life in a place that I never, never expected to be. I'm not in the palace in Jerusalem. I'm in the palace in Babylon. And you know what he did? Look at it again, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Do you see that in your Bible? Do you understand the reason Daniel could finish well and that they would put him in that position? Certainly. He was already third ruler in the kingdom in chapter 5. I mean, he was the only probably man leading the country at that time. And now he's transitioned over. But he kept that position because he had an excellent spirit. He finished well because he had an excellent spirit. And you know, I'm going to tell you what that reminds me. And tell you what it reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. I know there's some people, they like these really acidic preachers, these really caustic preachers that do everything but cuss in the pulpit. I don't believe Jesus Christ was that way. I do believe this. He knew when to say, ye serpents and ye vipers. He was straight with the truth. But I believe that Jesus Christ was a man full of gladness and joy and the Holy Ghost. I think that's why people thronged him and flocked to him and brought their children to him. And hey, are you listening? I don't want to finish my life sour. I don't want to finish my life bitter about all the things that have taken place wrongfully and opportunities denied and things that didn't go my way. I don't want to finish with an angry attitude. Why? I heard Lester Roloff talking about preachers that preach like they drink rattlesnake poison. I don't want to be a rattlesnake poison preacher. I hear somebody say, well, you're just a compromiser. No, no. Daniel's not a compromiser. He just has an excellent spirit. Now, go if you would, look at Acts chapter 7. It reminds me also of Stephen. Stephen had an excellent spirit. You say, how can I keep an excellent spirit, preacher? These people drive me crazy. It's hard for me to keep a good attitude, preacher. It's difficult. I think Daniel, 90 years of age, probably had the same thing. You could say the same. All right, look what it says, Acts chapter 6, just to show you. There's no doubt in my mind that Daniel had an excellent spirit. Verse number 10. Acts 6:10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. That's speaking of Stephen. They couldn't resist it. They couldn't resist the spirit by which he spake. Verse 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. They had a different view of Stephen. Well, how can I keep an excellent spirit? I'm glad you asked that question. If you look at verse 54. Verse 54, when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. So they're biting Stephen. But verse 55 says, but, that's contrast and conjunction, he being full of the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to say this morning, and I know we're in church, I don't believe that you can finish with an excellent spirit unless you stay filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're full of yourself, like this generation that we live in, the world, you know, you need to look out for yourself. It needs to be about you. It needs to be about what you're interested in. It needs to be about how people are treating you. It needs to be about the things that you've been given. If you look out for yourself or you let your life be filled with sin. Hey, Christian, you listening to me? If you let your life be filled with sin, I'm telling you right now, I absolutely reject the false teaching that you can live however you want to live. You go ahead and you pick you up a bottle down at the ABC store and you start drinking a little bit and start listening to the wrong kind of music. You know what you're going to lose? You're going to lose the fullness of the Holy Ghost is what you're going to lose. Then you're going to lose your excellent spirit. That's what you're going to lose. But he was full of the Holy Ghost. Then look at verse number 55. He looked steadfastly up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. So much is made about why Jesus is standing, when I think the bigger picture ought to be this, that he's looking at Jesus. Can I say this? I know 2020 had challenges in it, but I think, you know, we ought to do well to practice Hebrews. Chapter 11 said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I ought to be looking at him, not at the world. I ought to be looking at him, not at D.C. You say, do you vote? Yes. Do you work in the community? Do you try to be a good citizen? Yes. But my view is not focused on the world. My view is focused on the Lord. And I'm telling you, as long as I'm focused on the Lord, I won't look like some people I know that say they're born again on their way to heaven, have a mansion and a glorified body. I've seen people say, yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. I can't lose my salvation. I've got a glorified body. And you look at them. I'm not even looking this morning. I'm preaching down right now. And there are people that might even be in the building, frowny face, sourpuss, sullen, and hardened. Hey, you know what that is? You're looking in the wrong place. I hear somebody coming in and saying, why do we have those stands over there? And why do we have these things roped off? And why do we have to go through all this craziness? I'm right along with you. I don't like any of it, but I'm not looking there. I'm looking some other place when I come here. I'm looking to Jesus. Come on, how many of you say he's altogether lovely? He's altogether lovely. You want to keep an excellent spirit, you better keep your attention in the right place. Then not only that, though, in verse number 58, the Bible says they cast him out of the city, stoned him. The witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. So they're stoning him. Watch what it says, 59. I'd say that would hurt. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord. He still has fellowship with God. You know, one of the things that really bothers me about the day we live in, it bothers me we don't have fellowship as a church. Hanging around after church. Shaking hands with people that have joined the church or been born again. Going and eating in the cafeteria. Last year we had I thought it was such a blessing on Wednesday nights to get here at 5:30 and eat a meal and then pray for a little while. And then come in here and have service and be finished by 8 o'clock and go home. But we got to fellowship with people. That fellowship is important, just like fellowship with your family, fellowship with your spouse. And you know what? Here, even in a bad moment, the Bible says he's still talking to God. He's still fellowshipping with God. Hey, you know what I can say to you this morning? It may be 2021, but you could fellowship with Jesus in 2020. Come on now, you could spend time in his presence in 2020. And you can do the same thing in 2021. And Stephen is still in fellowship with God. He's being stoned. He's being hit with rocks. Do you understand? He's being pelted with rocks that will take his life. But he's not focusing on the rocks. He's talking to God. God. He's calling on God. He's crying. And I can hear somebody saying, well, that's what he's supposed to. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that's what he did all of his life. I believe when we get to Daniel tonight, you're going to see that Daniel didn't just pray before he went to the lions. Then Daniel's been praying all of his life. Hey, are you listening? Well, I don't know if you're listening or not. The people that have the best spirit are the people that stay in fellowship with God. They got their focus in the right place. And the last thing about this, how do you maintain it? Look there at verse number 60. He said with a loud voice, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Well, what a way to end. But he had a forgiving spirit. Are you listening to me? Amen. You know, I know I mentioned alcohol a little bit ago, and I think I'm going to keep doing that as long as I'm Pastor, because I believe the Bible is very clear you shouldn't be drinking alcohol. Because I don't think you ought to be using drugs either. And that includes prescription drugs that don't belong to you. All right? But I want to go a little further than that. You know, a lot of times the things that we struggle with the most is an unforgiving spirit. Somebody hurt me. Somebody said something to me that was offensive. Somebody did something to me at the church, or maybe they did something to me when I was a child. Maybe somebody took something from me. I just despise them. Every time I see them, it bothers me. And you hold on to that. Look, how many of you think I have never had anybody to bite me. Well, I take that back. I had a child to bite me once. My own. We fixed that. I've never been stoned. You hear sticks and stone may break my bone, but names will never hurt me. Well, I've had people call me some names and it hurt. Never been hit with a rock now. Stephen's being stoned and he's being bitten on. Not because he did anything wrong, because he did something right. He preached the truth. You know, he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Doesn't that sound like Jesus Christ? Yes. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you want to keep an excellent spirit, you're going to learn to have a forgiving spirit. You say, preacher, they hadn't come to me and asked for forgiveness. Nobody asked forgiveness of Stephen there either. They didn't say, I'm sorry, I'm stoning you. I'm sorry, I bit you. I'm sorry, we're about to take your life. There's nobody apologizing to Stephen. But you know what he's doing? He's saying, Lord, lay not this to their charge. You know what that made Stephen? That made him a free man. It allowed him to keep an excellent spirit, just like Daniel. And I'm sure there were days that Daniel, at 90 years of age, said, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to take any more of this. And you particularly, you've come here every day for the last 3 months, and all you've done is give me problem, and I'm tired of looking at you. I think he learned to have a forgiving spirit. Now, you need to keep an excellent spirit. Y'all smile at me. Everybody smile. Well, some of you got masks on. I can't see if you're smiling or frowning. Just smile a little bit. Can you do that? Can you smile a little bit? You can choose to do that. All right. I don't think you do that by, you know, some kind of yoga or transcendental meditation. I don't think you do that by determination. I will be happy today. I tell you what, you walk around saying, I will be happy today. I will be happy today. You're going to end up taking some medicine and wearing a little funny jacket for too long. It's not about your self-determination. Listen, believers, my dear brethren, 2020 was challenging. We ought to have an excellent spirit regardless of what's going on around us. If you want to finish well, you have got to keep an excellent spirit. Go back now with me, if you would, over to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, not only is he preferred above the princes, well, when this is decided, and I'm sure Darius showed Daniel favor because he appreciated him. And we'll see that probably later, maybe tonight, maybe not tonight, but the Bible says in verse 4, then the princes or the presidents and princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel. They started looking for a flaw, a fault, an opening concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. That's amazing to me. These men, 120 princes and two presidents, with all the money and all the power that is in this new realm of media, Medo-Persia, they're looking for dirt on Daniel. They're looking for a way to put a finger on him and remove him. And I'm telling you, I don't think it was a light search. I think it was an in-depth search. Today, there are all kind of things that can be done today, searching people. It's amazing to me what you can look up about somebody. You can find out about their past, and you can find out about any records that they have. You can pull up pictures, and it happens all the time. People pull up pictures of somebody's past when they were in college or something like that, and then it's magnified in front of the media, and it's shown to people and say, oh, what a horrible thing. Well, they're looking for that on Daniel's life, and they can't find it. So the Bible says in verse number 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. We can't find any fault in this man. Here's the second thing. If you want to finish well, number one, keep an excellent spirit. Number two, keep a blameless life. Boy, and I'll tell you what, we as independent Baptists, somebody says something about being blameless. Well, preacher, nobody's perfect. It didn't say that Daniel was perfect. It says he was without fault. It said he didn't have any error. You see that right there in verse number 4? Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Didn't say he was perfect. He was blameless. Boy, we have people say, well, now, preacher, I think that's a little bit high, and I think that's asking a little bit too much to ask somebody to be blameless. And certainly, in my mind, in my estimation, that makes him a whole lot like Jesus Christ. Could you say amen to that? I mean, 5 times in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is described as, I find no fault in him. Aren't you glad you have a faultless Savior? Aren't you glad you have a blameless Savior? I'll go a little step further. Aren't you glad you have a sinless Savior? The thing that makes the difference between Christianity and so many other religions is that God became man, manifest in the flesh, and our God had no sin in his life. Jesus was sinless when he went to the cross. So when he rose again, incorrupted when he died, uncorrupted when he was laid in the ground, and uncorrupted when he raised again, we have a sinless Savior. If there was sin in him, then there is no salvation. But here there's no fault in Daniel. Much like Jesus Christ. And in my mind, again, I want you just to note this. Paul describes the office of bishop, which is a pastor, and deacon. And he says both men are to be blameless. Do you know that the number one qualification, the first thing mentioned about a bishop, a pastor, is that he be blameless? There are so many people that pick out other things. I remember somebody talked about having your children, ruling your house well, having your children in all gravity. And I had a young man in our church who was working with somebody, and they said that I wasn't qualified to be a pastor because we didn't have any children. So if you don't have any children, you're disqualified. Well, I thought, well, that's about crazy. How come you went to that one and didn't go to the one that said blameless? Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you think it'd be harder to be blameless than it would be to have children? Here's the point. Blameless. He says that pastor, that bishop is supposed to be without blame. And those deacons are to be without blame. All right? That means that they're not giving an opportunity for somebody to have that dirt on them. How many of you know that your pastor is not perfect? I cannot believe everybody didn't raise your hand. That is just ridiculous. How many know your deacons aren't perfect? Daniel lived a blameless life. You know, Paul tells the church of Corinth, the church of Philippi, and the church of Thessalonica the same thing. He wanted them to be blameless. Do you know a pastor and a bishop or a pastor and a deacon ought to be blameless? But you know what I think? I think a church ought to be blameless. You know what that means? I think we ought to pay our bills, don't you? Come on, I think we ought to be honest, don't you? I think we ought to keep our word. But I think beyond that, I don't think that you need to be making the paper where it has a section of somebody being arrested for anything. I don't think you need to be there unless it's for the preaching of the gospel. You and I ought to be blameless. Amen. I think our children ought to be blameless. Amen. Well, look at the kids looking right now. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Blameless? Well, how can I do that? Everybody does something wrong from time. He lived a life that was blameless. Peter says it this way. He talks about the same thing, that we need to be blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm living my life with an eye on the future that the Savior is coming back one day, and then one day I'm going to go and stand in front of Him and be judged, so I try to live a blameless life. Can't live a perfect life. But Daniel lives a blameless life. Now look at it. Verse number four. It says they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was. Can you say the next word for me? Come on, look in your Bible now. Daniel 6, verse number 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was. Can you say it? He was faithful. If you're going to keep a blameless life, then you're going to have to be faithful. What does that mean, preacher? I'll tell you what it means. Chapter 1, you know what Daniel said? I am not going to defile myself with the king's wine that he drinks, nor the meat in which he eats. I am not going to give myself to a life of defilement. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to bow down to another god. Those three Hebrew boys said, we are not going to bow down to that idol. There's only one true God. Listen, I'm telling you, Daniel was faithful to the Word of God. Daniel was faithful to the person of God. There's no doubt in my mind that Daniel was a faithful man in his commitment. I told you, I can't prove it, but I don't know that Daniel didn't eat pulse and drink water all of his day. That would have been a huge reputation. This man is a man of his word. And in the middle of all that stuff, and Belshazzar says, listen, we'll give you a chain of gold and we'll put a scarlet clothing on you and I'll make you a third ruler of the kingdom. Daniel said, I don't want your money. Keep your reward. I'm not doing what I do for money. Amen. He was a blameless man. He was a man that didn't have fault like so many others throughout the Bible. And I will tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of David. Now, if you want to write out beside that word fault there in verse number 4, 1 Samuel 29:3, a Philistine king looks at David and says, same thing that Pilate said about Jesus. I don't find any fault in this man. He's faultless. He's not done anything that I can blame him for. Now, if you've got a mark in Daniel, turn with me, if you would, just a moment. Psalm 71. Let me show you what that means. Psalm 71. How many of you still with me? You didn't quit after the first point, did you? Come on now, this is first service of the year. We're happy to be here, right? Amen. We came to get something from the Bible. If you want to finish well, number one, you got to keep an excellent spirit. Number two, you got to keep a blameless life. Can't have a mark on it. So Psalm 71. Now watch. A whole lot of things to be said about this chapter, but I want you to focus at 17. Look at verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Now here's what I'm saying. David says, I have been taught some things from my youth. Come on, the Bible says that we're to train up a child in the way he should go. How many believe we ought to be teaching our children truth? You and I'm certain of, you know, they're not going to get truth from textbooks that are written by the world. They're not going to get truth from all of the media stations that are out there. But I'm going to tell you where they can get truth from. They can get truth from the Bible. Timothy was told that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. I think we ought to be teaching people the Bible. All right. And what David says is, I have learned some things. I've been taught the truth from my youth. How many of you were raised in a Christian home? Did you say amen? It's a blessing to be raised in a Christian home. All right. He was taught the truth, but notice he wasn't just taught the truth by his mother and by his dad. Verse number 17. Look at it again. Oh God, thou hast taught me. There were truths that God taught him. And listen, you young people, I know it's hard to understand sometimes. There are things that people will teach you, a pastor, a youth pastor, perhaps Miss Sandy, Miss Hattie, your mother, your dad. And these are things, this is how we're going to live. We're not going to wear that. We're not going to say that. We're not going to do that. We're going to do this, and we're going to take part in this. Those are things that can be taught, but it's a whole different story when God's doing the teaching. You know what I found as a pastor? When God writes it on the heart, it always lasts a whole lot longer than when I write it on the heart. I can cry, I can pour out my heart, I can be filled with emotion, and I can do my best to take and impress something on somebody's heart. And oh God in heaven, help me to be that man that preaches with that urgency. But I'm telling you, there's somebody in heaven that's got a lot longer finger than I have, that can write a lot deeper than I can. When God starts teaching you when God starts teaching you things, they'll last. That's why I want my kids in a church where God is. I'm going to say it again. That's why I want my kids in a church where God is. Well, do they have this activity and do they have these things and do they do this? Hey, you can find all of those activities, and if God's not there, God's not going to be the one doing the teaching. But oh, thank God for a church where God shows up and He teaches His people. Writes on the heart. Amen. David said, hey, you know what? I learned it in my youth. I got some truth taught to my youth. And then those truths, they were taught to me by God, not just my parents. But then the last thing right there I want to show you. Then he says, verse 18, now also. Do you see that? Now also when I am old. In other words, the truth that was taught to me as a youth and the truth that was taught to me by God is a truth that I followed my whole life. You know what I say this morning? Tabernacle Baptist Church, we ought to teach this book to our children, but we ought to stay committed to this book until the end of our days. I'm telling you right now, there are so many people that are abandoning the Bible. They're turning from the truth to find something that tickles the ears and makes them feel good and find a liberty. I'm not interested in feeling good. I'm interested in knowing I'm walking in the truth of God. That's what I want to do. I want to finish that way. I know this may seem as a surprise to some of you, but I don't keep up with what other churches do. I'm sure there are people that keep up with what we do. But I don't find out, well, what is this church down the road doing? You know what I try to do? I try to make decisions for this church based on what I think God wants this church to do. In fact, I don't get involved in other churches' problems. Come on now. I got enough problems here to deal with. I don't need their problem. I don't try to get involved in other family's problems unless you come to me and say, listen, preacher, we got some. Can we have some marital counseling? Can you help? I'll be glad to do that. But I'm not going to get into somebody else's issues in life because I've got enough to deal with on my own. I'm not trying to find out what they're doing, but I am trying to find out what God wants. And David said, I've lived that kind of life. So let me say this. Tabernacle Baptist Church, the older generation here, wherever that line is, don't bend your knee to a liberal move in the churches of the living God and go along with whatever comes through. Hey, we are still going to sing out of a hymn book. It's like I'll say that again. We're still going to sing out of a hymn book. It doesn't matter who's up here. I hope Brother Holbert's back soon. But whether it's Robbie or Daniel or whether it's somebody else, I'm telling you right now, we're still going to sing hymns. We're going to sing psalms. And we're going to sing spiritual songs. I'm not interested in the crowd that's following the cloud. I don't want that. Well, nobody dresses like this anymore. Well, maybe nobody dresses like that anymore. But I want my children. I want my children. And I want you ladies. And I want you men to know, hey, this is what God expects us to look like. And it doesn't matter if they voted all throughout Greenville County. There's no church that wears this. I think we ought to dress like men and dress like ladies. And I think we ought to do it until we go home. But we don't have to be ugly about it, do we? We all dress right around here. Bunch of old Jezebel-looking women. It's not what we want to do. Remember, we got to keep an excellent spirit. Come on, help me now. Daniel's got an excellent spirit, but he's also got some principles he's not going to move on. Look how important that is. Go back, if you would, to Daniel. I quit looking at my watch earlier. I'm not going to look at it anymore. Daniel chapter 6. This is so amazing to me. Oh, what? This is a 90-year-old man that says, I'm just going to stay with the old path and stick with what God's taught me. I'm going to keep a blameless life. Look what he says. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. You know, Daniel had a blameless life publicly, privately, personally, politically. But they also knew he had a blameless life devotionally. They knew he followed the Word of God. And they said, the only way we're going to catch this man is concerning the law of his God. It reminds me of Jesus. You remember when the Pharisees brought that woman taken in adultery to Jesus? They weren't looking for justice. The Bible says they were tempting him to catch him in his words. So they brought this woman to Jesus, and when he stooped and wrote on the ground, they're hoping that he is going to step into a trap with his words so they can accuse him. Well, that's not what the law says. Or they would say, how could you allow a woman to go free? Or you go ahead and you condemn her. You condemn her, now you cast the stone. They just want to accuse him. They're trying to catch him in the Word of God. And I began to think about that. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you right now, I think we ought to be a people. If you're going to find fault in us, you ought to find it in us following the Bible. Amen. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, here's what I mean by that. If they take away the credit you get for giving to your church, in other words, you get no charitable deduction when you fill out your taxes, and when you send in, you put a gift in the plate for missions, or you put a gift in the plate for an offering, and you tithe, and they say, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take that away from you because you guys won't back off of this thing about men and women being the only thing that constitutes a marriage. And they say, y'all going to lose your tax-exempt status. You know what I'd say? You and I would keep giving regardless of what the government has said. That's maintaining your principles. It doesn't matter. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with it. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Now that it's got to a place, we don't want to pray in public anymore. Isn't it amazing how that at a football game, they just want a moment of silence? Don't want anybody to read anything about God at graduation. Oh, we've got to keep separation of church and state. You know what I think? Every time you go to break, every time you go to your lunch where you work, you know what I think you ought to do? I think y'all do what 1 Timothy 4 says. Everything's to be received with thanksgiving. God, thank you for this bologna and cheese sandwich. In Jesus' name, amen. So you can't do that. Too late. Can't be a witness. Oh, no, you can't bring that into our subdivision. No solicitation. I'm not selling anything. I'm giving away free. Boy, it reminds me of a lady in Houston, Texas. She got on a plane to travel. And when she gets on the plane, all these people, you know, how you get on a plane, everybody's boarding according to the number or something like that. And this lady is going down the aisle. She got a big stack of tracts, and she's giving a tract to every person as she's going to, good morning, good to see you. Here's a gospel tract for you and one for you. And finally, one of the attendants come up to her and say, ma'am, You can't do that. She said, oh, don't worry, I've got one for everybody. She just keeps going down through it. Well, you can't be a witness. You know what I say? We ought to obey God more than men. And what I'm saying is, if they're going to find fault in us, let it be found fault with the Bible, not in our life, because we've decided, well, it's all right to drink and it's all right if you're a little immoral with your family or with your spouse. No, no, no. Let it be. Hey, if they're going to find fault, let them find fault because we won't move from this precious black back book, the Bible. You're going to find fault. It's going to have to be here. Do you really believe that a man and a woman are the only thing that can marry? Absolutely. According to the Word of God. Yeah, but people that love each other can be just as committed if they're the same gender. Absolutely not. I believe that God created them male and female. You shouldn't talk like that. That's going to get trouble stirred up. Hey, I'm just going to say, if you're going to find fault with us, let it be found with the Bible. That's Daniel. Come on, that's Daniel. How many of you like Daniel? I mean, that's not a Daniel at 20 that's spitting fire. That's not a Daniel at 30 that's young and feeling his oats. That's a Daniel at 90 years of age saying, not going to move at all. But on this side, got such an excellent spirit that they say, boy, we like that guy right there. What an example of how to finish well. Come on, how would people describe your spirit? Close your bow. We're finished. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. How would people describe your spirit? Would they say that you're contentious? Would they say that you're mean-spirited? Would they say you're cold and aloof? Maybe a scorning or a mocking spirit? Or would they say about you, that person right there, they got an excellent spirit. Holy Ghost is in them. Got their eyes on Jesus. Fellowship with God. Forgiving spirit. And what example are we leaving for the generation behind us? Are we going to remain faultless and blameless and say we're going to stick to the Word of God? Or a few curse words okay, and maybe a little bit of social drinking's all right. And I know the clothing's, I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing, but how are we going to finish? We're going to finish well. We are going to finish. One day, every one of us is going to finish our race. One day, I'll preach my last message here as pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church. We all finish. But will we finish well? You stand to your feet. The organist and the pianist are going to come and play. Maybe it'd be good for you to get on the altar and just say, God, help me to finish well. I really feel for our young parents and young couples. You have so much pressure on you to be conformed to a wicked world. Without God's help, I don't see you finishing well. I don't see you making a difference. I think just exactly what the devil wants. Just abide your time till you get to heaven. God, help us to have that good spirit. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to look in your Bible today. Thank you for this great example of a man that's of great age, that has an excellent spirit, and has lived a blameless life from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6. Help us to finish well, Lord. Those that might be wavering, those that might have family members and friends trying to influence them to give up the Bible standard, those that might have somebody that continually provokes them sore to cause them to lose that excellent spirit. Oh, God, help us to finish well.